Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Megan.
And we're digital producers for Bravo TV, and this is The Daily Dish. Today we're going to be talking about Southern Charm, The Real Housewives of New York, Below Deck, The Real Housewives of Potomac, and we have an amazing interview with an executive producer, Ryan Flynn.
You know, remember when we used to do an episode every single day?
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst.
it was awful.
It was just a quick stroll down memory lane.
Right, right. If we had to do it every day on Tuesday, I just wouldn't have been able to. It would have been a solo show for you, Megan.
That's right. Rachel was in bad shape. Wait, so Bravo had a summer party.
Yes, so we had our summer party as we do every summer in June. It used to be Summer by Bravo, if you all remember that, but sadly we don't do that anymore, so just summer now.
Yeah.
Just summer party with Bravo. And we walked in, and immediately we're given rosé, and then from then it just went dark for me.
So if we're trying to, like, put this on a scale of housewives, like, were you Dorinda on five martinis?
No. I wasn't Dorinda. I would say I was like a Vicky in Mexico, like, still having fun,
okay,
but, like, still with it.
Right.
That's what I would say.
Not Luann falling down.
No, not Luann falling down.
In that Roni trailer.
I could take stairs.
Okay, cool.
I walked a couple blocks from one location to the next.
Were you ever drinking from a pitcher of margarita and then saying, what's up?
No. So I think I handled myself okay.
But you then ran into someone.
But then, so the party was at one location, and then the open bar ended, and we were like, well, this can't be. So we had to move to another location. And at the second location, I ran into AJ McLean.
That is bananas.
The Backstreet Boy.
No, I know.
I told him, because I was, you know, Vicky Mexico drunk, I was like, you bring so much joy to the world.
No.
Yes. And he was like, I love what I do.
What was he? So what was he like?
He was super nice. He, like, let us take pictures with him. He was, like, loving it. Like,
okay.
He was just, like, a lovely person. He did not Northwest me. No pictures.
Oh.
So, yeah, all week I've been on the struggle bus. And then
yeah.
I have friends in town. And so today, yet again, the struggle bus.
Oh, no.
It wasn't really, we didn't really do anything crazy last night. One of my friends is, like, sleeping in my bed. My other friend's sleeping on a air mattress.
Right.
So it's just, like, not the best sleep when it's just, like,
yeah,
everyone in your house.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not so happy to have them here, because I am. I'm just struggling. Anyway, what about you, Megan?
I did not have the struggle because I did not go to the second location.
Right, that was the key.
Right.
Just leave after the party's over.
Right.
Grace, our producer, I will also say, got so drunk that in the cab on the way home with us wanted to just get out and walk on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, Grace, no, that's a bad idea. She's like, it's fine. I can walk from here. We were like, no, you cannot.
Were you guys stuck in traffic, or she just all of a sudden wanted to walk?
For some reason, they're doing construction all over New York City this week. I don't know what New York is doing with their, like, highways and subways and everything, but it sucks right now.
Right. Well, so my week was less painful, but something exciting happened that we didn't really get to talk about fully. Okay, so BravoTV.com is filming this, like, secret project right now with Carol Radziwill.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I went to her apartment with our video producer, Caitlin, and I got to meet two out of the three babies.
Oh my gosh, which two?
The kittens.
The kittens, okay. I've made a dog and a cat, a cat and a cat.
Yeah, yeah. Two of the cats. So you see in her apartment, like, when she's doing her interviews, there a floating staircase. So I was at the top of that staircase. And the cats, one by one, started coming in and
saying hi.
This was the perfect time to find out that Caitlin, the video producer, is allergic to cats.
Oh, no. Poor Caitlin.
She's like, no, it's fine. I'm fine. And she's just, like, sniffling like crazy.
Can you share the most important detail that I think? The couch.
Oh, right. Okay, so I have been seeing that people have been tweeting Carol like crazy because every time we see her in her apartment, which, by the way, such an amazing apartment, but we'll go back to that. There is this couch that just looks so out of place because it has been like scratched to shreds by the kittens.
Right.
Couch is gone.
What? She didn't even reupholster. It's just,
it's gone.
Not in the house anymore.
Grace is in shock. God, I hope she doesn't mind me giving this detail.
I'm sure she's okay.
Right. Or maybe it is being reupholstered outside.
Maybe, yeah, maybe
the apartment.
It's just, right, I doubt you don't do that in an apartment.
Right.
The you go to the upholsterer.
Yeah.
They don't come to you.
But I will say, like, watching on a show, like, any location, and then actually being there, totally two different things.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Sir.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the New Jersey party we went to.
Which New Jersey party?
Teresa's book party.
Oh, right. Yes, that. I mean, the ceiling was as tall as I was?
Yeah.
Yes. No, that for sure. Very different vibe in person than what it was. But when I went to Sir, I had like an idea of what the layout was in my head and like how it looked. And I got there and I was like, whoa, this is so different than what I thought it would look like or like how it was.
Right. Yeah.
Like the bar I always thought was like in the back somehow, but it's like you go in and then you turn and it's like right there. It's just so different than what
right.
I thought.
Well, Carol's apartment is kind of the same. Like on the show, I think it looks great, but in person, it's just like, wow. Like just a really wow factor.
Mm.
Really high ceilings, huge windows in the living room. And then you're not even seeing, you know, the stuff behind that, which is like the kitchen and the bedroom and all that stuff. So it's a really nice apartment.
Right. What is it like? I always find her hallway to feel so dark when you first walk in.
Yeah, it's it is cool? A little bit, but then the rest of the apartment is so bright and airy. And I think that's actually part of, like, I think she's doing a bit of a remodel right now. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it.
Oh.
So exciting weeks were had by all.
Yes. AJ McLean, couches, kittens.
Carol.
But someone else is having a great week. Jenny Poulos.
Mm?
Her second daughter.
Baby.
Name revealed.
What is it?
Georgia Grace.
I love that.
Isn't it so cute?
What's the husband's last name?
Georgia Grace Nassos.
I like it.
I do, too.
Has star quality.
Mm-hmm. Anything with alliteration does.
Yeah. Says Rachel Roberts.
I'm just saying. So, she's adorable. The name is adorable. I'm so happy she had another girl.
Well, thank God Flipping Out is coming back.
Right. So, we'll maybe get to meet little Georgia Grace.
Yeah. And Jeff's baby,
I know.
We have an exciting interview today. I've been waiting to share it because we were sitting on it for a week because Jill, we had her interview last mm-hmm. week, which if you haven't listened to that, please go back. It is something that like every Real Housewives of New York superfan needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is equally amazing.
Yes. Everything you've ever wanted to know, basically, of like, how do housewives get chosen? What happens after they leave? Ryan tells us everything.
Right. So executive producer Ryan Flynn, we chatted with him. So to give you some context, Rachel and I are digital producers, which means we have a hand in everything you see on BravoTV.com. What Ryan does is really creating the show that you see on air. And he's worked on some of your favorite shows, our favorite shows, like Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules, Real Housewives of New York, and previously on Orange County.
But enough of us talking about what Ryan does. We'll let him explain it to you and spill all the tea. So we are here with Ryan Flynn. He is a producer for some of the shows that you know and love. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of New York City, Vanderpump Rules, just to name a few.
Well, just stop it. Just stop the adoration.
So Ryan, can you let us know exactly what you do? Let our fans know.
So for the shows you just mentioned, I really sort of see the overall day-to-day creative. So I will, when we're shooting, be on calls every week with the team to make sure that we're getting what we want and talk about story and story arcs and character developments. And then the big thing is when we are in post-production editing the shows, I will watch and give notes on every episode four times. So everything that you see finally go to air starts out in a very different state. And so I will watch it four times, give notes, and hopefully make it a really great kick-ass show.
Well, you do a good job, as I was saying.
Well, thanks.
So we know you were just in Rome. What were you working on there?
Really? I can tell you that? Isn't that like a huge spoiler?
No, because we have announced it on BravoTV.com.
Oh, that's right. So we are over there shooting a show that we're currently calling Love Italian Style, working title to be determined. And it's a bunch of wonderful, fabulous African-American women looking for love in Italy. And it's really fun. And great fish out of water moments. And I have to say, a lot of chemistry right off the bat between our American ladies and the Italian men. You know, Italian men are not very shy, shall we say.
No. Shy is not really a word you might describe.
No, I don't think it translates. Actually, I don't think there is a word in Italian for shy.
They're like, what is that?
There's a lot of hand kissing and smiling and winking. Let me tell you, the ladies love it.
Oh. So how does a show like that come about? It's such a unique story.
That is a great question. That's more for development, quite honestly. Mm. You know, the development team will develop shows. Basically, Diane Valentine, who is this wedding planner who you've seen on Bravo before, she was the wedding planner for Tamara's wedding, Tamara from Real Housewives of Orange County. So if you remember Tamara's OC wedding, Diane Valentine was her wedding planner.
Oh.
And Diane, in the past, has taken groups of women over to Italy. Diane is a huge fan of Italy. She's been there 7 or 8 times. She got married in Lake Como and speaks a little bit of Italian. And knows that there's this sort of this cultural adoration and love with a lot of Italian men towards African American women. And I didn't know this, but it is sort of a known thing to a lot of women. And so she takes groups of women over who are single, stuck in love, you know, just not a great place, need to get a little bit of sort of love and feel better about themselves, as well as maybe how to be a better dater. Mm. And maybe fall in love. And that's what's so exciting. There's always this chance of, you know, we go over with a certain number of women, maybe they don't all come back because they found love in Italy.
Wow.
I know. Who wouldn't want that?
I know. I'm like, can I come on the show?
I know. Let me tell you, the minute this airs, there's going to be like a huge spike in bookings for flights to Rome.
I'm sure. So back to your typical day. I know you said you watched the show 4 times.
Yes.
Are you ever like in Orange County or in Beverly Hills on the set? Are you on the phone with housewives calming them down once the show starts?
You know, we really lean on our production companies to be sort of, you know, the people who we partner with to produce the show. So as a network, we're very closely tied to, you know, the creative of our shows, but we work with production companies who are ultimately responsible for shooting the shows, editing them, and delivering what we want to air. So I always love the first line of defense is the production company. So I will speak to housewives if need be, but the reality is the production companies are really there to do a lot of the, you know, the heavy lifting, the problem solving. I will on occasion go observe a shoot, but I always, my thing is we want to get people's real lives as much as we can. We want to capture these women's everyday lives. And having someone from the quote unquote network standing around, people just start acting weird. Even if they don't mean to, it's like that, oh, the network is here, so I'm somehow going to maybe not be completely my natural self. So I honestly find it best not to be on location because it just has the potential of messing with people's minds.
Right.
I like to be more of like the wizard behind the curtain.
Mm.
Like you don't see me or hear me very much, but I'm pulling levers and like, you know, smoke bombs and all of those things, really not to scare people, but at the end of the day, to hopefully get the best show possible.
So I know you get like dailies or rundowns of what's going on. What has been your biggest like what the f*** moment of when you hear what's going on?
It's usually like my weekly call for Vanderpump Rules, let's be honest. I actually am about to get on my weekly call for Vanderpump Rules in about an hour.
So call us back.
Yeah, we're an hour too early.
To talk about the first couple weeks. And the number of what the fucks in the first 2 weeks of shooting this season has been unbelievable.
Yes!
So, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, even though I know you want every juicy detail.
I was going to say, I know Stassi is back with Patrick. Will we be seeing Patrick?
Sorry, the line went out. What? Excuse me? Pardon me? Sorry. I don't know. You're just going to have to watch now, won't you?
Darn it. I'm going to email you later, Ryan.
No, so, you know, I think that, you know, we are in constant communication with our showrunners and our producers who are in the field. And, yeah, every week I will get what we call either hot sheets or director's notes, sort of the rundown of the day-by-day of what we shot. And it's a way for us to, you know, not only sort of talk about what we have, but where we're going, what maybe we may have missed in terms of, like, story holes or what's a little confusing that we need some clarity on. But it's just, it's a great way for us to make sure that when we do this, start seeing the episodes, that what we're getting is, you know, our stories that we've been talking about and tracking the whole time.
I know you said the production company is the first line of defense when it comes to housewives. But what is the craziest thing a housewife has texted you?
Well, you know what? They don't text me.
Okay.
I honestly, really, in a weird way, am like the wizard behind the curtain. Like, people know me, but, like, my favorite housewife story is I covered Real Housewives of Orange County for, like, 5.5 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God
and
bless
I swear
you.
To God, every time I went to the reunion taping and said hello to Vicki Gumbelson, it's like the first time she was meeting me.
Oh.
It was like, it you know, like, if I'm not in her immediate day-to-day world, it's like I don't exist. And quite honestly, again, I'm kind of okay with that because, you know, I really want the production companies to put out the fires. And for really, my job is to focus on what's the best story, what's the best creative, how can we tell these lives, you know, the stories of these women's lives in the most interesting way. Mm-hmm. So I don't get a lot of texts. I do have to say, though, the housewife that's always, like, recognizes me, says hello, like, always the most warm and open is Lisa Rinna.
Oh!
She's
totally
great.
She's the
I love
nicest.
Her.
Yeah, and you've probably dealt with her.
Yeah.
She is super friendly, nice, you know, appreciative. She'll throw a little shade when, you know, at me. I totally take it. I can throw some shade back. You know, we're good that way.
Well, I love what you described about your interaction with Vicki. I feel like that's sort of our relationship, or at least mine, with all housewives.
Mm-hmm.
I've introduced myself so many times to Ramona, and then the last time she was in the office, I'd said, "Hey, I'm Megan." I knew she wasn't going to remember. And then halfway through our conversation, she's like, "Wait, Megan Segura, why didn't you tell me?" And I was like, "Oh, I did." You know.
No, I know. And you know, and all I think about is, like, the number of people that they come in contact
of
with.
Of course. Right. Yeah, you can't take it personally.
Like, from Bravo, from the production company, from press, you know, like, they get inundated, and it's one of those things, like, totally get it. Like, if I'm not in your day-to-day sort of in your face, it's just, you're not going to remember me. And again, a lot of times I'm totally fine with that.
So you've been here since 2010. From the beginning.
Yes, I have.
So from the beginning in 2010 to now, how have the shows changed? Is it full parody of themselves at this point?
I don't think so. You know, the basics remain the same, which is we find really interesting people with interesting lives, and we give them the time and space to live, you know. And we, whereas other networks are getting really narrow in terms of their shooting and you know, maybe say soft scripting, we don't. You know, we will shoot a housewife show for 14, 16 weeks. It's, you know, it's almost, sometimes almost 4 months. And that's a lot of time. And
right.
Basically, we are just giving these women time for things to happen. So that hasn't changed. What I think has probably changed over the past few years is the pace at which we tell our stories. It's a lot faster. And I think Vanderpump Rules was really sort of kind of the game changer in many ways for Bravo in terms of storytelling, like in the speed of storytelling. If you think about that first season, was 8 episodes. So much happened in those 8 episodes. If you look back, like, it's shocking. And now, you know, last season we had 21 episodes without the reunions. First season was 8.
Right.
But think about everything that happened in that first season.
The sweater ripping off.
The sweater ripping off. That, you know, we started with Jackson and Stassi
together, right?
Couple forever. Episode 2, they broke up, and then there's Frank, and then there's the rumors about Vegas Girl,
right.
and the
Pride.
Denial,
right.
And then in episode 8, Jack's coming clean, like, and that was just Jackson Stassi, like that, and that was 8 episodes.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, like, since you were working on that show from season 1, when you first saw it and were working with these people, did you know you had such a hit on your hands?
I want to say yes, but not right away. We knew there was something really interesting and special about it, but I think the biggest concern in the halls of Bravo with Vanderpump Rules that first season is, you know, we are a network that's known for showing sort of exclusive luxury, you know, people, places, houses that the average viewer never gets a view into and loves it. They love that exclusive look into a world that they don't have access to.
Right, the aspirational.
And we were turning our cameras onto cocktail servers, hostesses, and bartenders with, you know, apartments that had cottage tea ceilings and window air conditioning units that looked like a lot of places we've all lived in our 20s.
Right. So,
and it's like, will a Bravo audience want that?
Yes.
Well, you know, Lisa Vanderpump was really, and still is in many ways, our entree into that world. Like, we knew we could always ground ourselves in the familiar Bravo world of Lisa Vanderpump and, you know, a talented, successful restaurateur and, you know, and with her house and her dogs and her swans and her multiple businesses. And we could always deliver on that while also then, you know, living in the world of small claustrophobic apartments and, you know, and cheap clothing. Like, it's just, it worked.
Right. It's almost kind of like Below Deck where you're looking at the yachty's lives, but you're still on this yacht. So you're still super close to the luxury.
Yes. And it's never far away. And, you know, we can always touch base. But that, I have to say, that was, I think, the concern about Vanderpump Rules early on was just that, will people want to invest in these people who, you know, not to be mean, but like can be shallow and vapid and you know, many ways lives are very simple day to day. And as you responded, the answer is yes.
So one of the most iconic things to develop on Bravo is these housewives vacations. How do those come about and why are they so amazing?
You know, I think there's now sort of an expectation from our fans of, you know, seeing these women travel somewhere together. It's just, it is an expectation and it's one that I love. You know, and the trips, while I wish I could say, you know, we could go anywhere in the world we want to, the reality is, you know, when you see housewives travel, what you're not seeing is the, you know, the crew of 70 to 90 people who are traveling with them. And, you know, and that's a big number. It's a large number of people traveling. And so, you know, like just the logistics of a housewife's trip starts with where can we go that we can afford that will have us, you know, where can we travel that where we can get that many hotel rooms, that many airline tickets, you know, with a budget that makes sense for us. And that, you know, that the women ultimately want to go to. We often, you know, we start with them and look at them to say, you know, what's interesting to you? What do you want to do? I think, you know, last season with Bethany in Mexico, how that trip was going to be the trip because she was planning it for the launch of her new, you know, tequila, totally made sense naturally. Of course, and that had to cancel because of her health. But then that's going to be coming back around this season.
Yes.
So that was my next question. Anything you can tell us about the upcoming vacation on Roni?
Well, I can tell you that I have, we're just getting the cuts now for those episodes, so I have not seen it yet, but if it plays anything like it reads, it's going to be like the one of the most epic shit shows in Roni history.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. I think for each franchise, it's a little different. For whatever reason, on Real Housewives in New York City, it just works for those women to be in a house together. Like, put them in a house, in a destination, you know, add a little water, well, really add a little, you know, vodka, tequila, rosé, and then stand back. Because it just, it's always interesting, it's always explosive, it's always fun. Whereas Beverly Hills, you know, maybe we would put them in a house together, but I think they really prefer having their own
space,
suites and their own space and sort of doing it up their own way.
Right. Mikey has to go somewhere.
That's true. Mikey and the rest of the glam squad for Erica. But, you know, so trips are, it's a little bit of where can we go? Where do they want to go? We also have to not repeat ourselves across all the franchises. So, you know, if Atlanta is going to Hawaii, we're not going to go to Hawaii that same year on Beverly Hills. Like, we need
to
find variety. And the world hopefully is big enough that we don't, you know, ever found ourselves being too repetitive.
So we do this thing called, some people say it's a Sophie's Choice. We call it a Sophie Stanberry's Choice.
It's Sophie Stanberry here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you had to go on one vacation, would it be Scary Island or the Ireland trip?
I would say Ireland because I'm Irish.
Oh, the Meghan answer.
Yes.
Really nice.
And, you know, I'd feel more at home with my people while watching, you know, that version of hell.
That means, though, you have to participate in that 3 a.m. hallway fight in the hotel.
Well, I'm fine just watching. So I'm good standing back in the corner just in eavesdropping. I'm like Stassi leaning out the door. In
yes,
like,
totally.
That's me. I'm fine with that.
Once your shows are starting to air, do you pay attention to the fan sentiment? Are you like scrolling through Facebook comments or Twitter to see how people are reacting?
I to some extent, you know, I rely very much on all of you who do a great job every week of publishing the Bravo Social Sentiment Report, which thankfully you guys sort of give us a little snapshot of what people are saying about our shows on Facebook and on Twitter. So I actually do really look at that. And, you know, while it may not dictate a lot of our creative edit, because a lot of times, you know, we're already sort of far ahead in edit, it does give me a good sense of, you know, are the things that we are finding interesting to our viewers. But it's always good to know who's taking their knocks, because, you know, that it's often a conversation to have with a production company about, you know, how's a certain housewife doing, given that she just got, you know, raked over the coals in social media for last night's episode. So, sure.
Yeah. Has there ever been a show that you worked on that you loved and are just so disappointed it didn't come back for another season?
I loved a little gem that no one watched called Dukes of Melrose.
Oh, yes. I loved that show, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Where with the two guys who owned the amazing high-end the resale boutique store on Melrose. And, you know, it was a half hour. It was so much fashion porn. It was great history. There were great characters. I loved the idea of sort of this, you know, going to people's closets and having, you know, them consign their Louis Vuitton bags and their, you know, and their Chanel and their Prada. And it was just fun. And the guys were fun. And it just... it didn't resonate, but I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I remember that episode when they were selling all the shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I just, like, distinctly have a memory of that.
And you know who was in that? Lisa Rinna.
Oh,
Lisa just pops up all over our
show.
She
really does. There was a Lisa Rinna sighting in Dukes of Melrose because she's friends with Cameron, and she I think she shops there. I think she consigns there. Yep.
Well, alternatively, was there ever a show that just took off with fans and you were like, oh, really? Like, you weren't sure it would work?
You know, it might be a little too early to tell, but I'm really proud and excited about sort of the initial reaction to Sweet Home Oklahoma.
Mm. Right.
Because, you know, it on paper, it's a hard sell of, all right, well, here's a group of friends, a group of women in Oklahoma.
Right.
Okay. Why should I watch? And it was always that, well, just watch it because they are so fun and funny and real. And, you know, they're women you want to hang out with. They're women that you want to get a drink with. They're women that you want to prank, mm-hmm. and you want to be pranked by them. And, you know, and it's still early on, but I'm probably most proud that what we hope to accomplish seems to be sort of what's catching on.
Yeah, it is a great show. I mean, there's
and
such...
It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it's just nice to have a half hour you just laugh.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So everyone is always curious about the process of the housewives. Who's coming back? Who's new? Who's leaving? Do you help pick the new housewives?
I do, but it, you know, it takes a village.
Right.
It is definitely not a one-person decision. But yes, we will, you know, we will look at, you know, every season always starts with who wants to come back, who maybe doesn't want to come back, what do we feel like in terms of what might be missing in terms of the dynamic within the group. And then, you know, and then we always start with the women, sort of the core group that we think is coming back. It's always a, you know, who do you know that we should know?
Right.
Because it's always, you know, it's always best to have a real life connection and to have that history. And I think you definitely see that on Real Housewives in New York City. Like, it always felt like Dorinda was there because in a way she always was.
Right.
Like, you know, she's always just like, it always felt like you just turn the camera, you know, a couple feet one way or the other, Dorinda has always been there.
Totally.
And so that's why I think her inclusion has been so successful. It's just so natural.
Right.
But it is. No, it does take a village. You know, we look at a lot of women. There's interviews on tape. We've now gotten to a point where when we sort of narrow the list down, we'll go do a home shoot, just sort of like a day in the life, slice of life of what does a day in the life look like
right.
for our top choices. You know, meet husbands, meet kids, meet friends. You know, where are they going? What are they doing? What might we see? Should we say, great, would love for you to join us? You know, what does that life look like?
So how do you know when it's time to say goodbye to a housewife?
I have to say, when it's time to say goodbye, it's most often than not, it is a mutual understanding and a decision. And it's not even so much of a, we're telling someone to leave. Everyone knows the time is just right.
Mm.
Whether it's a first season housewife that just didn't click, you know, never sort of found the rhythm, or whether it's someone who's been on many seasons who, you know, they're just a very different person from when we started with them. And their life is in a place now where it just maybe doesn't make sense for us to be sort of in their lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, it's a process and it's a discussion. You know, not everyone goes quietly into the night.
Care to give a name?
Yeah.
No, you know, sometimes there can be some understandably either some hurt feelings or some confusion. But, you know, I think it's always interesting that the shows and the franchises, you know, are in many ways are always bigger than one person. And I think when we all think, oh my God, we could never move on without, you know, fill in the blank, somehow we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we find new lives and new stories and new challenges with new cast, with current housewives, that, you know, it just kind of everyone keeps trudging along. So, yeah, you know, it's sometimes it can be a big leap.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a scary leap to, you know, to say goodbye to someone or if someone says goodbye to us. But, you know, we move on and we have another season and we get excited about what's to come.
Yeah, I feel like we're now in maybe as of a couple years ago, new wives are more normal now. But there was a period of time where people were leaving and it's like, well, what's going to happen to the franchise if these people leave? Is it over? And it's just, you're so right. It goes on.
It does. And, you know, and I think we've learned lessons of, you know, we don't get rid of too many at one time. And I forgot what season it was on New York, but I think we let go of three at once.
Mm.
That's a lot of change. And I think almost too much change sometimes for the audience to accept. So, you know, but hey, in a season, you know, if it's one out, one in, you know, you make it work and, you know, I think fans are also excited about new. There mm-hmm. is that excitement about, you know, what else can you bring to this group or to the stories that you're telling?
Oh, we can tell you people are always very excited about New Housewives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have a final question, which is who is a housewife who has left because they wanted to and you weren't ready to say goodbye?
That is a good question. Of the franchises I've done, well, in a way, and I think it's exciting, is Lydia. And I'm glad that she's back. You know, yes. I don't oversee Orange County anymore.
Right.
But we really liked Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a lot of different reasons.
The mom?
Well, Lydia's mom is great.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think, you know, when she didn't come back the first time, I think we all wanted her back. And it just didn't work for a lot of reasons. I think it was family. I think it was kids. I think it's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, sort of as a fan, even though I don't oversee Orange County anymore, I'm so excited that she's back because I, you know, I always loved sort of that spunky, sparkly energy
mm-hmm.
that, you know, she's the kind of woman who could step foot in a pit of fire and somehow dance through it all and smile. And I think that's so great about her. So, you know, I think Lydia was someone who I was sad to see go and so happy that she's back.
Yeah, and I think you're so right that currently in OC, I feel like it's very dark, for lack of a better word, and I feel like she has just the energy to come in and, like, break it all up.
She really does. You know, she does her little dance, and she puts mm-hmm. her arms out, and her mom is throwing, you know, and Lydia's mom is throwing, you know, fairy dust, and it's just, and she, right, she makes you laugh and smile, and it, you know, and she still has her moments of, you know, real life and intensity and drama, but you know, there's an innate brightness and lightness in Lydia that it's just infectious.
Mm. Thank you so much. This was amazing.
Sure.
Yes, thank you.
Fans
anytime.
Are going to go insane.
Yeah, people are going to freak out.
Well, let's not overstate. Again, I'm the guy behind the curtain. No one needs to know.
You're
maybe
the
I'll
genius
use a pseudonym. Can
happen.
I use a pseudonym for this piece?
If you want. Whatever you want, we can do. Again, Ryan, we cannot thank you enough. You did not hold back.
And I still need more information,
right.
Actually.
I am really going to email you and ask you about Stassi and Patrick. So
right.
Be checking your inbox.
And if you guys have any more questions about your favorite shows, let us know. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. We have nothing but time to interview everyone that works here.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into Southern Charm.
This was, for me, a very, like, hard-to-watch episode because of several reasons. But let's start with Landon and her conundrum of whether or not to just take money or, you know, keep living her life.
Oh, my God. It's so true, though, because she's talking about how, well, I mean, we see her with her dad, who mm-hmm. really is just all he can do is eye roll at everything Landon has to say, which makes me sad for her.
Right,
in a way, you always want your parents, you know, approval
and respect and for them to be proud of everything that you're doing.
And he just finds the website to be sort of a joke and not paying the bills, which, fair.
Right.
It's, you know, a startup, so.
But I think that he's just trying to say be practical. Like, you can keep doing Rome or TBD, what the website will be called.
Right.
But be practical and have another source of income. If all she has to do is go to this site of construction and make sure things are happening, I'm sure you would still have time to work on your website.
Right. But yeah, when the dad is showing her his construction site, I would need you to look in on it every day.
Matter of fact, I got a proposal for you.
Yeah. What's that?
I need somebody to be on the property every day. The commission on this would be $200,000. I'm hoping it's something that you'd be interested in doing.
What is there to think about? Take the money, Landon.
Seriously, and I understand wanting to, like, make it on your own and not just taking, you know, daddy's money.
I don't understand that, honestly.
But, you know, she said something in the episode to the effect of, like, it would be so easy if I just took my dad's opportunity and if I married Thomas, but I feel like I would be giving up on myself.
I felt the same thing. That's weird.
Oh, man. Don't date someone if you feel like basically you're settling. Like, you're not doing what you really want to do, but it's easy and it's settling.
Right. Well, and it's almost like, you know, she's certainly not being this dramatic about it, but it's kind of like back in the day when women, you know, would take a marriage proposal because it meant a dowry that, like, paid for,
whatever.
Like, you're not, it's not that drastic.
Right. I don't, it's like,
if you're even thinking that in those terms already, yeah, maybe take a step back.
Right. It doesn't mean that because you work for your dad, that means you can't also make something of yourself. But I get it. I think that we always dismiss the fact that she was kind of not a, like, I don't think she was a kept woman necessarily, but she felt very much like that in her first marriage. So
right.
I think it's so much more than just, I want to make this website. It's like claiming her identity for the first time.
Right.
Which I think is why it's so hard for her.
Totally. The Shep situation was just the most cringeworthy of this episode.
Oh, my God.
I mean, okay, so we basically have two versions of the story.
Right.
Chelsea says to Austin, you know, Shep did something weird. He pulled me outside with him, and he a few times tried to kiss me.
He, like, grabbed my arm. He was like, come here, I need to talk to you. So he, like, grabs my arm. He pulls me out of the back door, and he just immediately turns around and just, like, goes in to, like, kiss me. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
And said, like, you and Austin are a joke.
Everyone thinks it. Nobody thinks you guys are good together, and everyone would want us to be together.
Right. And what Shep says happens is he doesn't have to, you know, pull her outside. She willingly goes. And, yeah, he tries to kiss her a couple of times. And, like, that part, he's like, yeah.
Right. Well, and that's, I think, the crux of, like, what they're not fighting about the same thing. Because I think Austin and Craig is like, it's the principle. Like,
right.
I don't care what you did. It's the fact that, like, this woman is clearly here with me. And you still think you are entitled to go out and try to kiss her. And if it's her prerogative to do that, then it's her prerogative. When, like, you need to have some respect for your friend that brought this woman with her. Yes, the woman has her own mind. She can make her own decisions and do what she wants. But, like, why are you doing that to your friend? Out of all the fish in the Charleston Sea, like,
no,
why are you doing this?
No, it's not okay at all. If your friend is dating someone, and
right.
I don't care what your definition of dating is, Chelsea and Austin, they clearly like each other.
Right. I mean, they showed up together.
They showed up together.
According to hearsay. We
yeah.
didn't see. But it just was odd to me. And then and he's so like, you're overreacting. Nothing even happens. And it's the principle. And that's, I think, where the fight just, they aren't coming together. It's the principle of it. And,
right.
And Shep's just like, you're overreacting. Nothing happened.
Right.
You did the same thing to me. And I thought that Cameron, there were so many parts of this fight. And I'm so glad Chelsea was like,
You see his lifestyle?
I know, I do.
As a friend, you shouldn't want me to be...
I know. You're right. I just feel kind of a little sorry for him.
Oh my God, like that was such a moment for me that showed that they really have a genuine deep friendship, because to be able to say, you gotta stop, like, don't you want better for me? And also, like, just cut it out. It's annoying.
Right.
And that Cameron, like, owned up to it and said, you're right, I'm gonna stop.
Right. Like, I guess I just, you know, always see the good in Shep, and you're right, why I don't want you to be with him in his current
right.
state. Not that he doesn't deserve love or anything, but he obviously can't handle it.
Right. The next on seems amazing. Because of this situation.
My God.
On the next episode of Southern Charm.
I was going to talk to you and apologize in person. What worried me was that you think that I think that you're like that kind of girl, which I don't.
But it did make me feel like I was one of those girls.
Do I have to live the rest of my life with you questioning everything I do?
But I was like, Shep, you grabbed her and you brought her outside.
No.
Chelsea, I am literally verbatim going through what you told me.
He took her on a 3-night trip.
Yeah, that we planned for each other on Valentine's Day.
And they spent the night together.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of changes my whole opinion of Landon.
There is no girl code. I'm sorry. That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. Grow up.
It would hurt my feelings.
Look, you're even taking her side right now.
Let's raise a glass to our hostess with the most.
If you continue to correct me, then we should separate tonight.
Catherine.
You knew that we were, like, together.
I didn't, though. You weren't.
This is the father of my children.
I feel like he uses me as a weapon against you.
Because of this situation, because of Landon.
And Catherine.
When she said, I think he's using me as a weapon against you.
In front of Thomas!
I was watching it at the gym, and I literally was like, oh my God! Like, looking around to no one.
But also the part where I audibly gasped was when Austin's like, well, you said he grabbed you and took you outside. And she's like, whoa, that's not what I said. And it's like, Chelsea, yes, you did!
I know, you guys can't see us, but Megan's, like, grinding her teeth and I'm pointing angrily. Like, we're like, Chelsea,
roll the tape! Okay, so we talked about how the Southern Charm next on was crazy, but I think the real winner this week was the Below Deck Mediterranean next on.
If you would have asked me, on this cast, who do you think is going to hook up with a guest? It would have not been Hannah.
But he is Dallas's most eligible bachelor.
When they said that, I was like... We had a show that was that on Bravo.
Is this a thing?
Is that Matt? But no, it has nothing to do with that, although I wish it did.
And I know I've said this, but I have to say it again. When I ran into Hannah in the elevator, I was like, oh my God, who is this woman? Like, she was so beautiful in person. And, like, she is pretty on the show. It does not compare to how she is in real life.
No, because she's really tall, which you can't
really
tell on the show. And she's just this kind of, like, goddess of a woman. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. She's just very, like, bam.
I was obsessed with Jacinda Barrett in, you know, 90s, early 2000s, after seeing her on Real World. She's like that. Like, they are very similar looking in person. Beautiful. Love you, Hannah.
I hope she, like, dates him. I hope this is where she found love. Captain Sandy can marry them.
And if not, casual romp never hurt nobody.
Yeah, I thought it was so bold, though, that she just, like, went in there and she was like, you're going to bed, and then sex sounds.
Jason, you off to bed.
And she, like, ran after him.
I know. Before we move on to Real Houses of New York and such, I think we need to hear from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Tom Sandoval's Hair Straightener. That was a good straightener sound.
Thanks. I tried really hard.
All right, so Real Housewives of New York.
It just, every time I think it's not going to get amazing. It does.
Yeah. Okay, so I have an important question. Who should Sonia be with, Frenchie or Rocco?
I have so many conflicting things. But I, when I was watching this episode, because I don't think she wants to be with Frenchie, unless she's, like, lying to herself, because she's like, he wants to have kids. Like, I can't be that person for him. She needs to pull a Landon and cry in a restaurant and tell this man, I'm too old for you. I'm an old hen.
Oh, yeah. But I also don't get the sense she wants to be with Rocco.
No, I don't think she does either.
I think she wants the best of both worlds. And I'm just like, Sonia, keep looking. You'll find it.
Right. But I also don't get, like, what is so bad about Frenchie? He cooks for you. He's really cute. He clearly likes you a lot.
But he wants kids.
Right.
She's done.
Adoption.
She doesn't want to.
but then end it.
Yeah, no, totally. Like,
but I didn't know that he was meant for Tinsley originally.
I know, I didn't either.
Oh my God. But classic Sonia.
Yeah, classic Sonia. Sonia-rita.
Sonia-rita.
Ramona has found a new group of friends.
Her daughters.
Like, do you... I don't know. It was very...
There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
Okay. Yeah, totally. I've never hung out with anyone's mother like that.
No.
Like, I've met people's mothers and, right, like, we went to brunch, but I didn't, like, then, like, gab about my, like, personal problems.
Right.
It was just so odd. And then when she was like, no, and then you guys can come over, and then I'll bring friends, and we'll have a whole brunch every week.
And the looks on their faces were just sheer panic. I want to read to you from Ramona's blog, because, oh my God, yes, we talked about how she damaged Dorinda's apartment.
Yes.
This is what she said about it. As far as the paint coming off in the corners of the room, that happened because when I went to go to sleep that night, everyone was already asleep. My room was lit up like a football stadium at a night game. Which, by the way, has she ever been to a football game?
I mean...
So anyway, room lit up like a football stadium at a night game because the lights from filming were all still up. I know that in the past the crew uses double-sided tape to put them up, so I just pulled them down. I guess I was stronger than I thought. Therefore, yes, the paint came off the wall. A little freshening up with a new coat of paint never hurt a room.
Okay, so she's saying that it was, like, camera crew lights.
Yes.
So... in theory, whenever you took that tape off, it would have taken the paint off, too.
Oh, right. So, like, even if the crew themselves had taken the lights down, it probably would have done that.
I think anytime I've taped, and I imagine, like, heavy-duty, double-sided tape, to put up, like, lights for filming, I imagine is pretty heavy-duty. So, I don't think that, like, Ramona ripping it off caused the paint to come off. I think it might have been just the tape that they used. So, that would have happened anyway.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know if maybe a gentle tug would have done something differently.
But I think either way, Dorinda's probably more upset that Ramona wasn't like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, totally. Because I think Dorinda's the type of person that as long as you say you're sorry for your actions, she's like, we're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, remember Sonia and her? The next day, after that crazy yelling at each other with Candace Bushnell.
Oh, my God, yes. That was crazy.
Not well, bitch. And then the next day, they were like, cool.
Yeah.
Because Sonia was like, I'm sorry.
I wanted to talk about the lunch, the dim sum between Carol and Bethany.
Well, because Megan told me earlier this week that she is Carol. She's never been to dim sum in New York City.
It's true.
Grace is shocked.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, yes, let's record from dim sum. Seems fantastic. People are just bringing you food.
Yeah, they just bring you little plates of deliciousness.
All right.
And you get to pick and choose. There's no pressure.
All right.
You could just eat rice if you wanted. That would be really boring.
All right. Do they have drinks at dim sum?
Yes, it's a restaurant.
I didn't know if it's a traditional thing to include, like a mimosa, or...
I don't think you have... I had it at, like, noon when I had it.
Okay, that's brunch hours.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
But when Bethany says that there have been gay rumors about Tom...
Of course, there are other kinds of rumors. He's 50, eligible. You know, he's got a nickel in his pocket and a penthouse apartment and no wife.
in a couple failed engagements.
She'll strap one on, like the rest, like the best with the best of them.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, what more can there be? Like, he's cheating with women, but now he's gay?
Right. Like, he apparently, according to them, cheats on Luann all the time with all these different women, but somehow also fits in a male lover?
Right. Right.
Crazy. Pick one.
Yeah, I thought that was odd. And I thought it was odd that this was the first of us hearing it. With all, like, you think at no point with all the other accusations they would have just thrown that in too?
Is it weird that I am listening to the Audible version of Bethany's book, I Suck at Relationships, So You Don't Have To?
No, it is not weird. What have you learned?
Oh my God. Okay, really good thing that she says. That women will sit around and talk about the things that they look for in a guy. So like, oh, I go for guys that are tall. I go for guys that are really funny. I go for guys that are like super driven at work. The guys that they are actually with aren't necessarily any of those things because women aren't the pursuers. All they care about is that a guy is into them.
Mm.
So they're willing to forego their list because they just want to be wanted.
Mm.
And I was like, that's kind of true.
Right, right. But then I feel like eventually that's not going to work out.
Well, I'm sure that's like the point she's going to make too.
Right. Oh, so you're not there yet.
Not there yet.
Okay. Which is at the beginning.
Slow your roll, Missy. I mean, okay. So we should talk a little bit about the wedding, which was gorgeous. But I'm more interested in talking about that post-wedding party.
Yes. I mean, obviously, wedding looked amazing. I actually was really, like, happy for Luann.
Me too.
Because she had she eloped. And this was like, she clearly is such a romantic, and she got to have this big, beautiful wedding.
Right.
That she never had before.
Yes.
Because at first I was like, isn't this a little, it's your second wedding, and like, right. You know? But then you're like, she never had this.
Yeah.
And so it just seemed, it was just so sweet.
No, I felt really emotional watching her talk about it, because she loves love.
She does love love.
But this second follow-up party.
The reject party.
Yeah. How? First of all, awkward, yeah. Because you're just inviting people that weren't invited to the real thing.
Right.
And also kind of sad.
Yeah, I think it was sad because it's like all of you people that didn't believe in us. So maybe it was more like a f*** you party.
Oh, yeah, but also I meant sad like.
Oh, well, when you show up and no one is there yet.
Right.
Not good.
Yeah. It was just weird. I don't know.
That's like one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone invites you to their birthday or something and you get there before them. And I'm like, you need to be here early. It's your party. Why am I here before you? That's ridiculous. And I'm always late. And then that toast.
Since I made a speech on the boat that no one could barely understand.
We get a redo.
Wait, during the engagement party. During the engagement party. And you for a long time. You know, then a moment in time. That moment happens. So every once in a while, you know, you just know when it's right. And it's right.
Well, Dorena, thank you.
Thank you. You understand the intention,
yes.
Which is always what counts as intention. But I want to say thank you so much for having us again. I got to say one thing. This is it now, right? No more celebrations. Are we done?
No more celebrations.
We got to be done now. That's it. That's it. Well, I want to raise a glass to a beautiful couple. I had such a great time at the wedding. I know some of us weren't invited anyway.
Yeah, we were not.
We won't go there. But we just did.
And some were disinvited.
It was a fantastic wedding.
Sorry you couldn't
come.
Great.
Dorinda's speech is absurd.
It was filled with love and happiness and friendship. I just came out of it feeling so much better about everything.
Oh, we're so happy. You feel good about it. It's so good that you feel good about your friend getting married.
Oh, stop it. They think my toast, Tom, tell me what a wonderful toast I did, just like you did.
Dorinda, you gave the most wonderful toast. You always make it nice. You make it so nice.
I don't know. It's a little... It reminded me of when Sonia was doing her cabaret-esque and Jill was making all the snarky comments during it. When Bethany was being like, this is terrible toast. Like, da 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 da. Like, and that, like, even if it is terrible, you're not sitting there being like, well, this f***ing blows.
Right,
like,
you're in the first row.
Right, she can hear you probably. So it just reminded me that
At the heart, Bethany and Jill are very similar.
And I actually liked seeing, though, Bethany and Carolyn Tinsley all laughing together because, you know, there's been a lot of, like, oh, does Bethany not like Tinsley? But I think that...
They're like gal pals.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, and I was super excited to see Chad there.
I know! Like, Tinsley's going all in on Chad.
Now I'm like, marry Chad.
Yeah! Or give him to Avery.
Right.
It was really awkward when they met, because Avery's, like, what, 22, and he's 23, and then, could you imagine, my parents have been married, they live in the suburbs, like, I can't imagine going to an event with my mother, and then one of her friends shows up with a guy my age. I wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
It's such a different world. But Avery looks so much like Ramona, I can't handle it.
Right.
They're so similar.
Sisters.
Yeah. But there's another Housewives this week. Potomac, and we had a delicious hot mic moment.
Yes.
I wonder, too, I sent Karen her questions, and she hasn't gotten back to me yet. I wonder if she knows.
Oh.
Because how would she know? Unless production told her or something?
Right.
All right, Karen, we're going to let you get ready.
Thank you, guys.
Cerise, you know, she's very jealous, and she's evil.
She thinks the world should bow down to her for the way she put her life together.
But anybody could have married Eddie Jordan and done what you've done. Hey, look, people can say the same thing about me, but I don't go around screwing the fireman.
She has a boyfriend who's a fireman?
He has big muscles and everything. He's cute. Go show
him. Really? Oh, yes. My God.
She better not come for me, because I will put that picture up real quick. New Jersey harlot. You're not going to f*** with me and expect me to roll up the motherfucker.
I love a hot mic moment.
Yes, me too.
There have been... Okay, so this season of Real Housewives of New York, we've already seen one.
Right, the Carol and...
that random woman,
right,
at the charity
that
party.
Can't get out.
Right.
We had Juan Dixon talking about how he doesn't want to be in this situation anymore with Robin.
Right. What are some others from, like, past Bravo? Phaedra on Real Housewives of Atlanta, when she's doing that, like, awful hand gesture talking about Candy and Shamia.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's not a hot mic, but it's Luann when she's talking in French.
No, that is hot mic.
Remember?
That is hot mic.
In St. Thomas, St. Bart's, pirate party.
Yes.
You can't say anyone was here at night. I went home with you.
Yes. That was, like, the best.
Ugh, so good.
God. If you guys can think of other ones, tweet us at Bravo TV and use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. I know there's more.
Yes.
Also, and this is super important, we want to get to know you guys better. The Daily Dish is competing with some other shows to get the most responses to a quick survey. It only takes a couple minutes of your time, and you can do it straight from your smartphone. Please help us out and support the show by going to wondery.com/survey. It's WONDERY. The link will be in the episode description, along with links to Ramona's blog and that crazy Below Deck preview we talked about. And finally, we leave you with the best line of the week.
Okay. Now I need to market myself as if I'm a f***ing J.Crew bitch.
We can figure this out.
And I'm not a J.Crew bitch, sorry. I don't know what else to say.
And hey, quick note, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Meg Segura, MegSegura.
Boop. And I'm at Rachie Robb, RachieRob.
We might just be dropping some housewife blind items. No, JK, we would get fired.
Right. But DM us.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.